Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture this morning is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In every step, we are called to walk with purpose. To follow where Jesus leads, to serve, to give, to grow, to pour out our gifts and share our lives. And to see the world through the eyes of Jesus.
In World War I, the Kimberly-Clark Company developed a fiber. It was almost a crepe paper that was used in gas masks during World War I. Now, as that thankfully drew to a close, the company turned to consumer products, finding luck in paper products. They began developing a number of things, some feminine products. Among them was a thin kind of paper that was used to remove makeup. Cold cream, as my grandmother would call it. The Kimberly-Clark organization did this in the 1920s, and by 1926, they found that these thin papers were much more popular than they expected. You see, it turns out people were using them instead of handkerchiefs. See, in the 1920s, people would still carry handkerchiefs in their pockets. My grandfather did up until the 1990s. But they found these thin papers to be something preferable. Use it, throw it away. Use it and let it go. Use it and cast it aside. The Kimberly-Clark Company advertised them as the handkerchief you can throw away. And they changed their name later. Do you know what they changed their name to? Kleenex. They changed their name to Kleenex. Now, I tell you that story because I brought a prop today. My Kleenex box. This has been in my office for quite a while, and now it's empty. But being empty, it carries some weight for me. It carries some importance for me. You may recall a couple of weeks ago when we talked about needles and camels, we use that metaphor. We talk about when something has importance, it has weight. This has importance to me. And it's a symbolic importance. And it shows up a couple of different ways for me. You see, the reason this box is empty is how many people have been in my office bearing their hearts and their souls and weeping. Bearing their hearts and their souls and weeping. What a privilege it is to be trusted with those raw and vulnerable moments. I've sat with people in grief, in fear, in confusion. I've sat with people who are longtime members of this congregation. I've sat with people who are somewhat new to this congregation. I've sat with people who, they're sitting in my office, weeping, was the first time they'd ever set foot on this property. I spoke with a young woman who was worried about where she would sleep that night because she had just left an abusive relationship. She was weeping. I sat with a man who was weeping in joy over an incredible relationship with his son. I sat with a woman who was seeking spiritual direction. She wasn't sure where God was calling her to go, who God was calling her to be. She expressed her confusion, her desire to hear God's call more clearly, and her commitment to follow wherever God leads, if she could just hear God's voice. So this empty box carries a great deal of importance to me, in part because it was left behind. In a way that I sort of imagine some of the griefs were left behind in that space. I'm not saying that when people left my office, they no longer had a care in the world. That would not be realistic, would it? But have you had the experience where you weep? You let those emotions out of you. You find that you can breathe a little easier, that the weight seems to have lifted just a bit from your shoulders, that whether it was your own words as you processed out loud or maybe some other words of wisdom that may have taken place, that you find that you were able to cast off some of those burdens just a little bit, like an unneeded and used tissue, like an unneeded empty Kleenex box. Set aside, cast off, releasing a burden so that we might breathe, so that we might be just a little bit free of those things that feel like they can hold us down. I've been holding on to that box for weeks, and it continues to be important to me. In our text today, blind Bartimaeus is burdened. He is burdened in part, I suspect, because the way he sits in the marketplace in Jericho is a familiar place. I imagine his voice hoarse from crying out constantly. I imagine his spirit weary. Frankly, all the others who see Bartimaeus day after day after day, I imagine that they are weary too. Why won't he just be quiet? You find that shocking? But do we do the same things when we see that person at the intersection once again? In the alcoves once again? Or maybe we don't feel exhausted. Maybe we just don't want to look at them at all. We don't want to see them. When I have spoken with people who live on the streets, among the many things that are said to me, among the many stories that are told, sometimes it is simply the frustration of constantly being ignored. And so I imagine Bartimaeus with a gruff and hoarse voice, because he's constantly crying out, perhaps louder and louder as he can, so that maybe someone will finally see him. Somebody sees him. Somebody hears him. Even if the crowd tries to silence Bartimaeus, choosing not to see him as valuable, Bartimaeus cries out. And so Bartimaeus in Jericho, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, I don't imagine that Jesus had a big name tag on. Sure, he has been in the region, but how do people know who he is? Sure, there are disciples with him. How does Bartimaeus know who he is? Perhaps as Bartimaeus has been ignored, people have not only failed to see his very basic humanity, but people have failed to see his wisdom. Bartimaeus sees, without his vision, that this is Jesus the Christ. He sees, without his vision, that this is someone who will see him. Victor McCracken was a PhD student at Emory University when he wrote this. He's now a professor at Abilene Christian University. He writes this: "Bartimaeus, in identifying Jesus as the Son of David, demonstrates that he really does see. Despite his physical blindness, he can see what others who meet Jesus cannot. But at the same time, in calling Jesus the Son of David, Bartimaeus also demonstrates that he does not see after all. The irony is that the messianic title that Bartimaeus employs is one that Jesus himself will reject in Jerusalem. In his temple sermons, Jesus explicitly questions the identification of the Messiah as the Son of David. Thus, while Bartimaeus sees that Jesus is the Messiah, the prevailing assumption about the role that the Messiah was to play in the life of Israel continued to blind him to Jesus' true mission. Like the disciples, Bartimaeus sees, but only in part. It is only in Jerusalem that the true import of Jesus' messianic mission is made manifest." Jesus sees Bartimaeus. Even in the midst of those who would choose not to see him, Jesus sees Bartimaeus. And Jesus responds. Finally, recognizing that Jesus sees Bartimaeus, those around say, "Well, get up, he's calling you." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Throwing off his cloak. I wonder how much Bartimaeus owned. I don't imagine he owned a home. I imagine that cloak as one of his few meager possessions. I wonder if the few people who did see him and pay attention to him, maybe throw some change his way, I wonder if that was wrapped up, kept secure in that cloak. And yet he casts it aside. Lincoln Galloway is the professor of homiletics at Claremont School of Theology. I should tell you, he was one of my professors. He writes, the blind man is portrayed as a model of Christian discipleship. He comes to Jesus and does so by casting aside his cloak. It's quite reasonable to regard his cloak as representing his most treasured possession. This image reminds us of the transforming effect of the gospel to call forth a life of renunciation and dramatic change. Bartimaeus casts off his cloak. Casts off those things that burden him and comes to the Christ with an open heart, comes to the Messiah. Even in his brokenness, even in his disability, even in the way he's wrong about who the Messiah is, he comes to the Christ. And Jesus responds, "What is it that you want of me? Let me see again." Bartimaeus' act of casting off his cloak symbolizes a letting go. A letting go of security and burdens. His healing is both physical and spiritual. He not only receives his sight, but he gains the freedom to follow Jesus on the way. But it's not an easy journey. In a sermon on 2 Corinthians in 1934, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this: "Christianity stands or falls with its revolutionary protest against violence, arbitrariness, and pride of power, and with its plea for the weak. Christians are doing too little to make these points clear rather than too much. Christendom adjusts itself far too easily to the worship of power. Christians should give more offense, shock the world far more than they are doing now. Christians should take a stronger stand in favor of the weak rather than considering first the possible right of the strong." What can we cast aside? What burden can we let go that free us to more fully follow Christ on the way? Dr. Derek Wibber of Discipleship Ministries of the United Methodist Church writes, "What walking with Jesus teaches us is that we aren't the ones guiding the path. We aren't the ones who are determining where to go. We've surrendered that responsibility when we decided to follow him." Bartimaeus saw that. We could learn from the one who was blind but now sees, because he asked, "Let me see." When we talked about the weight that things carry, when we talked about camels and needles, we talked about how materialism and consumerism can weigh us down. What are the burdens? What are the burdens that you need to let go of? What are the burdens that you need to cast off? What are the security blankets that you need to let go of? As we conclude our stewardship season, we are invited into a life where we are free to give, free to love, free to follow Jesus without being weighed down. So Jesus said, "Go. Your faith has healed you." At once, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. A miracle. A miracle. Bartimaeus was not only physically healed, but as we discussed, spiritually healed. A miracle. Cynthia Jarvis is a minister of the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill, Philadelphia, and she writes, "Miracles are those events that bring people from darkness into the light. Miracles turn our attention to what really matters in life and in death. Miracles claim no power, but reveal a power who wills to be known." Bartimaeus' story is a reminder. It's a story that shows us that faith is a journey of seeing clearly and following boldly. Our life of faith is about letting go. Our journey of stewardship is about letting go, not wastefully, but intentionally, so that we can make space. Make space for connection. Make space for generosity. Make space for legacy. Not about waste, but about freedom. Bartimaeus cast off his cloak and was free. Free to follow the Messiah. May we cast off all that there is to cast off, all of the things that burden us, whether they are physical or spiritual or emotional or situational or cultural. Let us be free to follow the Christ, to follow the Christ on the way. Amen.